Hey guys, what's up, and welcome back to Crime and Tea for episode number 3. Thank you so much if you're joining us for the first time or if you're a returning listener. I'm Crystal, your host, and Ron is joining us today.
Hope y'all can hear me this time.
I hope you're ready for the story today. It's definitely not for the faint of heart. This is your warning, though. It's going to be a little doozy. Not terrible, but definitely hit some notes. Next week, we'll be getting into something really deep, so this is just a little precursor. So without further ado, get your coffee, tea, or something cozy, and let's get on into it. So, our case today takes us back to 1957, where Juana Dayanara Barraza Sampiero, and I warn you now, all names are in like four parts, because they're all Spanish names that decide to keep every part of each other's names. So, just a warning. So, Juana was born on December 27th in Hidalgo, Mexico. She was born in a very toxic home to police officer Trinidad Barraza and Justa Sampiero, who was an alcoholic and a prostitute. Just 3 months after Juana's birth, Justa left her husband to be with Refugio, I think that's how you say that, Sampiero, who was not only married, but was also Justa's stepfather. I just, there's just some weird things. So, he would also subsequently become Juana's father figure in life. As a child, Juana never learned to read and barely spoke. She had a terrible relationship with her mother, which isn't too shocking, especially when you hear what's next. At the mere age of 12, her mother made the decision to just kind of trade her off for three beers. Have just my child. I'm an alcoholic. Give me these 3 beers. To a man named Jose Luego. Words cannot speak what is wrong with that situation. I just don't understand. Like, where are the people? I guess you put yourself in a bad enough situation. There's nobody that wants to help you out. But to your child. So this is when things got really bad for Juana. As if they weren't bad enough already, Lugo would abuse Juana for the next 4 years, impregnating her not once, but twice, which is horrific. As a child. She's a child. Yeah. And this is happening to her, which is absolutely foul. Ugh.
So she had that stepfather. Obviously, he was just okay with that, I guess.
I don't think he really cared. He was married, or I don't know. Well, they weren't married, but they were together with his stepdaughter. Like, I mean, and I understand that they're not related, but like,
It's still weird.
So both of the pregnancies ended in miscarriages because she was so young and malnourished. Her mother eventually passed away from cirrhosis of the liver.
Shocker.
I know, right? Really had you on your toes there. So this gave Juana the motivation to move to Mexico City, Mexico. She had several failed marriages through the years and ended up having 4 children. Unfortunately, her eldest son was killed in a mugging gone wrong at only 24. There's not too much detail on the rest of her children. I think there's like some vague detail that goes into the lives of her children. But I mean, you don't really get names and stuff. They just kind of tell you, that they existed and they're still out there.
They're not important to the story.
They're not. And as they should be left out. So from 1989 to 1990, she went around central Mexico as a masked wrestler named La Dama del Silencio,
Luchador.
Which translates to the Lady of Silence. She chose this persona due to her quiet demeanor, which is absolutely bananas. Like, wrestler lady, you were doing just fine doing your wrestling thing. Why did you keep doing your wrestling thing? I mean, okay, yes, I know. You know what? You know what? Yes, your best friend Terrence is a wrestler, and I understand things go wrong, and I understand that it's a hard path to travel, especially if you're not on a higher circuit. But she was doing pretty okay. So, anyways, shortly thereafter, in 1995, she began stealing to make ends meet after having her last child. She then started burglarizing homes, and in 1996, she came up with a plan with friend Arceli Tapia Martinez, in which they would steal from the elderly. Real, real stars there.
Easy targets.
I mean, yes, and it's terrible. That's why it's terrible, because they're easy targets. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Not that it's any better if it happens to anybody else, but
Shows you about survival. I guess strongest because it ain't the fittest.
no, it's just it's a sad, sad thing. So the two women would dress in all white like nurses. They would be let into the home and would proceed to loot the home unbeknownst to the owner. Don't mind me, just do 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 do. Oh, do you need that medicine? Okay, here you go. Tapia was involved with a corrupt federal police officer named Moises Flores Domingos. Tapia had planned to extort Barraza with Domingos for 12,000 pesos after she committed a robbery alone so that Domingos wouldn't arrest her.
Wow.
Yep.
Well,
Extorting the
good
thief.
old crooked cop in there.
You know,
Gotta throw one of them in every.
spicy.
Yeah.
Keep it spicy. Oh, goodness. Bixby's talking to
Bixby
us.
voice privacy
No,
content has
Bixby,
been
you can't
updated.
know
To
what I
continue,
want to talk
view
about.
the updated items on your screen.
Why? Every
Go
single
away.
time. And anyways,
Good thing you edit this.
I do. In 2000, Barraza retired from wrestling, where she made 300 to 500 pesos a fight. Now, she was barely making ends meet following her retirement. A few years earlier, in 1998, there was a noticeable increase in brutal murders of the elderly in Mexico City. At this time, the press was saying that they thought there was a serial killer at large, and they went as far as naming him El Mataviejitas, the old lady killer, thinking the culprit was male, because they had the L, what is it, pronoun, adjective? It's been a long time since I've taken Spanish.
But the other thing is when was this set again?
This is happening in 1998, so
Oh,
it's
all
not
right.
like super duper long ago.
So it wasn't super duper long ago that they believed that women couldn't be
Well,
serial
yeah, I
killers,
know.
so.
I know. Things are weird. Everybody's equal opportunity here. However, the Mexican police denied these claims and had already made a few arrests in connection with the crimes. Barraza began her crimes a few short years after retiring from wrestling in 2002. So, November 25th, 2002, Barraza entered the home of Maria de la Luz Gonzalez Anaya. Supposedly, Maria had some derogatory comments that set Barraza off. She was totally infuriated, and she brutally beat her until finally strangling her with her bare hands. That's about as rough as it gets in this episode. There's not too much detail to go into with all
Keep it
these crimes.
basic.
It's all very similar
Who
in
needs a weapon?
profile.
I've been wrestling for years. I
Oh
will
yeah, she's a
strangle
very
you.
strong woman. I
Yeah, I should
mean,
have thrown people around for years.
yeah, she's professional. She's a legit professional. She's professionally good at kicking people's butts. So she would strike, or she wouldn't strike again for 3 months, and it is widely speculated that she was actually inspired by the stories of El Mataviejitas rather than her being the inspiration, especially because those crimes happened supposedly before she had started killing. So, unfortunately, there's not a lot of information in regards to those crimes that happened a little bit
Well, yeah,
earlier,
because they
whether or
said that they
not.
were already put it on other people and it wasn't.
Yes, she was not seeked out, or she was not sought out for those
Did she
crimes.
ever speak up on this? Or did she ever confess anything?
Yeah, we'll get into that.
Okay.
We're not there yet. Stop rushing
Sorry.
it. After this 3 month span, crimes increased significantly. By November 5th, 2003, there was enough evidence to point to a potential serial killer who was tall and posing as a city council nurse or social worker. The police at the time did not want to release any info on this matter. There was a lot of tension due to El Mataviejitas because the PAN, National Action Party, the conservative political party in Mexico, was using it, saying under the control of the PRD, which is the Party of the Democratic Revolution, the Democratic political party, crime had risen, saying his public health care was to blame for the increase. Well, because of the way that these crimes were going, because he had instated that, you know, that he wanted these well checks to happen for these elderly people, and so there were nurses that were going to these people's homes, giving them medications, going and picking up their medications, making sure they were okay, helping them with anything they needed help with. And so, therefore, this was the prime opportunity for these people. Yes.
You were trying to help people, and you put a serial killer out there to kill all these people. I know what you did.
Yeah. So they were assuming that it was an actual nurse committing the crimes. By December, there were two wanted posters released, with one being more masculine and one more feminine. They were only named as persons of interest, not suspects. So this is the police still trying to not give full disclosure here.
Yeah.
It wasn't until the following year that police actually admitted that there was a serial killer at large. So mid-2005, Barraza began a relationship with taxi driver named Jose Francisco Torres Herrera. His alias was El Frijo. Mm. The bean. It's the man. So who then?
How do you get the nickname the bean? Don't gloss over it. What in the world made them nickname you the bean?
I have no idea. Maybe he had a lot of flatulence. He's a very flatulent man. So he then became her accomplice. And after this, the murders increased, and the time of day shifted from daytime to nighttime. The police put a special operation into effect known as the Operación Parques y Jardines, Operation Parks and Gardens, due to the murder of Carmen Camilla Gonzalez Miguel on September 28th, 2005, at 82 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, it's rough. The people that she went after was just like, really? They're so helpless. She was the mother of a well-known Mexican criminologist, Luis Rafael Moreno Gonzalez. The Operation Parks and Gardens basically increased patrols in the areas they suspected the killer to frequent. They also advised the elderly to be cautious of strangers with pamphlets with new sketches. They even paid a few elderly people to be bait in the park. Could you imagine?
How much does being bait like?
I have no idea, but that sounds like some shady shit there.
Like, I'd be down for being bait. But, like, what's the
payoff? I mean, I get the police is right there, but, like, I mean, something could go wrong in between.
Oh, yeah, something really going wrong. Like, you're not here.
Like, she's here out here strangling people with her bare hands.
There's a reason,
like,
why they're not putting their own person out there as bait. Like, why don't you go get your own grandma?
Oh, man. So the police were also convinced that the person responsible for the crimes was a, their words, not mine, transgendered man. There were 49 trans prostitutes that they arrested and released because none of their fingerprints matched the crime scene prints. They even went as far as seeking the help of the French police, thinking he was similar to homosexual serial killer Thierry Paulin, a.k.a. the monster of Montmartre. Yes.
Are really pushing this man thing. Like, they are.
They truly, absolutely think that it is a man.
Population.
Yes.
Like, be like, yeah, we're right.
Well, it didn't help because she had a very short hairstyle at the time. She looked very masculine. You know, she was pretty, you know, in shape. She was tall for a woman, you know.
I mean, like, I understand, but I just don't rule it out.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. I understand. But ultimately, these things didn't help significantly. Shorter after this, the murders seemed to slow down after October. They thought maybe the murderer had committed suicide. To their dismay, come January 25th, 2006, Barraza was seen by a nearby tenant leaving the murder of landlady Ana Maria de los Rejas Alfaro. She was arrested by a patrol officer that just happened to be passing by. Even though she was illiterate, the police found a trophy room in her home with newspaper clippings of the murders as well as objects taken from the victims. She also had altars to Jesus Malverde and Santa Muerte, which were commonly worshipped by many Mexican criminals.
I don't think I'll ever understand the trophies.
I don't understand trophies either. I mean, you know, it's their way to connect and go back and relive moments. It's that little piece, but like,
it's,
I mean,
what gets
my
every
thing, yes,
one caught.
Yes, exactly. That's my thing. I'm like, if I was, you know, really out there trying to kill somebody, I would want to get rid of everything. I would want everything gone. I'd throw it all away. Nobody sees nothing. I don't have anything on me. I have no connection whatsoever to whatever bad things I did. You know, I'm not out here like, let me stash this.
People, you know who to look at.
Hey, I'm not like that, okay? So, in an attempt to make it seem like they were on her trail the whole time, they had her pose next to a bust and sketches of the Mata Viejitas. In reality, though, Barraza was at the police station and even did a wrestling interview only a week prior. A week prior. Yeah, you guys were on the trail, hot on it. She was so hot, she was in the office.
And y'all had to leave.
Right? So in 2008, she was tried for 40 deaths they thought her to be responsible for. She only confessed to one murder of Alfaro. It didn't give me a last name. It was just this one name, so I don't know if it's like just to keep the privacy of this person or what, but that was the only thing that they said, and three other women that were not named as well. She told the police her motive was lingering resentment on her mother's treatment. Which is like,
plausible.
Yeah, she was so brainwashed by what had happened to her as a child. She just viewed older women as something to fear and something that was bad. So she thought she was doing the right thing by getting rid of them from the world because she thought all older women were like her mom.
Yeah.
Which is so sad to live in that mindset, but unfortunately, these things happen. She was sentenced to 759 years in prison, but will be paroled regardless in 2058 at the age of 100. She is currently 63. Hey, you know, nowadays, we'd be making it to like 120.
That's fine and dandy, but this woman is in the Mexican penitentiary system. So who knows if she's even going to make it to see 65.
I mean, she seems to be doing pretty alright to me. So, she was able to get into these people's homes by pretending to be a social worker or city council nurse. She started by just dressing in white, but eventually acquired a real nurse's uniform. Depending on her victims' wealth, she would gain their trust doing small favors, such as massages or picking up medical prescriptions for them. Once they were distracted, she would strangle them immediately. However, if she was unable to distract them, she would beat them first using her wrestling moves, and she would then strangle them. She seemed to prefer manual strangulation, but would sometimes use a ligature from the victim's home, sometimes a cord, a wire, pantyhose, and even a stethoscope at one point. Yeah, she would. Yep, she eventually got like a whole, you know, she wanted to look the part. She would then rob the victim and usually kept some sort of trophy from them. Barraza was approximately, I got the height wrong. I thought I got the height wrong. I was like six. Yeah, that's really high. Yeah, that's really tall. So it was 5'8 to 5'9. She had a very easy time overcoming her victims, obviously, because she was taller than the average in Mexico at the time. I think for a lot of people, she was taller than average, and you know, she was pretty muscular. She was definitely adept for the job.
Yeah, she was ready to kick butt.
Yeah. So if you would like a full list of the known victims, you can head over to the link for criminalminds.fandom.com, which I will be putting in the description. Some more recent news: after 9 years in prison, Barraza got married, because you know, that's what we do when we go to prison, we get married. So the Mexico City Daily headline was, "She found love." Ah, man. So her husband was identified as 74-year-old Miguel Angel, a prisoner sentenced for murder residing in the men's section of Santa Marta, Tichla?
They have a couple sexes.
And I have no idea how that all works. But it's the same prison, obviously, that Barraza is at. The two have been together for about a year, and were married, along with 48 other couples.
A lot of couples in the prison.
48 other couples.
Funny, they gotta have, like, honeymoons.
Well, that's what I'm like. I'm like, so do they get, like, conjugal visits with each other? Like, is that a thing? Or
they meet up on the yard behind the sunset. Behind the basketball hoop, let's go!
I'm like, I just don't understand. Where do they get all this alone time? Like, or do they just sit in the yard together? Like, do they commingle? I don't understand how that works.
I don't
works.
Think they would let them commingle.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's like, how are they even, like, getting this time together?
Write each other and send each other pictures?
I guess. I have no idea. It's so odd. So, following the ceremony, prison officials provided food, music, and cake at the reception, according to a statement. This is all part of a program of the Mexican government to help inmates forge relationships with each other called lazos en reclusión, bonds in confinement.
Mm.
What?
They let you get married in the prison.
Yeah.
I thought the whole idea was to, like, seclude you because you lost those privileges.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the thing that really gets me, because it's like, although, you know, I do feel bad for her as an individual and the life that she had went through as a child, you know, she still murdered these innocent people.
I don't feel bad.
You don't feel bad about what? You don't feel bad about her?
Yeah.
Why?
Because of her choices.
Well, yeah,
it's one thing to feel bad for someone that, you know, overcame it to do something good with their life. But for someone to use it as a buffer and an excuse to do things.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not saying her excuse is acceptable, but I mean, that is a really, really terrible circumstance that she had growing up. I don't wish that, you know, would happen to anybody, and I would feel bad for anybody if that happened to them. But no, she did not make the right decisions as an adult. She made terrible decisions as an adult. And she's, I guess, kind of paying the price, but I wouldn't even really say that. Like, the fact that she was able to get married to another inmate at her prison is kind of, like, wild. Like, you're supposed to be punishing them, and you're basically rewarding them. So that is the end of Juana Barraza, the Mata Viejetas. If you are interested in any crime scene photos, the link for murderpedia.org will be in the description as well. Just a warning, they are very graphic photos, so don't take searching for them lightly. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and if you did, let me know. You can follow our Instagram at crimeandtea. If you would like to send us an email, you can do that at crimeandteapodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to make a very appreciated, never required donation, you can do so at the link below or at our Anchor link, which will also be below, where you can also choose to follow us. Thank you so very much. Until next time's tea. Bye-bye.
Later, folks.